Hello, and welcome to the Women's Hour. I'm Kelly Pyle, your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster. Today's show features articles from the July 27th issue of People Magazine and Oprah Daily, the online daily newsletter. Some of the articles I will be sharing today include Matt Damon is not slowing down, 3 simple ways to curb your sugar cravings, and these 3 simple questions are relationship glue. Matt Damon is not slowing down. At 55, the Oscar winner and dad of 4 is going big with an ancient epic and embracing a new phase of life. By Andrea Mandel, photographs by Gavin Bond. This is a People Magazine exclusive. Matt Damon isn't the belly aching type. Ask him about his hardest day on the grueling 6-month shoot for The Odyssey, an adaptation of Homer's ancient Greek poem about a hero's quest to return home from war to his wife, Anne Hathaway, and son, Tom Holland. And he's quick to point to the crew's collective pain. Voyaging between locations in Iceland, Morocco, Italy, Scotland, and Greece, with IMAX cameras in tow, felt more like an expedition than a movie, says Damon, 55. In his third film with acclaimed director Christopher Nolan, following 2014's Interstellar and 2023's Oppenheimer, Damon carved himself down to 167 pounds of shredded muscle to play the plagued Odysseus and was alternately stuffed into a giant Trojan horse and lashed with fake rain by 2 jet engines, like 737 engines blowing water on us, he says. The wrath of Poseidon was also sometimes just an out-of-frame bucket. At the end, we were shooting some close-up raft stuff that was too dangerous to do on the open water. That involved Chris pouring water over my face while I was lying there. And I was like, this is perfect. We're ending this with waterboarding, he says, laughing. Back on dry land, the Brooklyn-based dad of 4 daughters, with wife Luciana, 50, Alexia, 27, Isabella, 20, Gia, 17, and Stella, 15, ticks off his priorities in this era of his life. Passion projects, his longtime nonprofit water.org, and locking into the last few years he has kids still at home. Having 2 older kids who are out of the nest and knowing how fast these final years go, we're trying to be mindful of holding on to what we can, he says. Born in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and raised by his late father, Kent, a stockbroker, and mother, Nancy, a professor of early childhood education, the enduring star was bitten by the acting bug young, alongside his childhood friend Ben Affleck. We were in our teens, coming down to New York on the train or on the bus to audition for things like the Mickey Mouse Club, Damon recalls. Then 1997's Good Will Hunting launched them both to stardom, winning them Oscars for screenwriting. Their moms were their dates. Damon has since dominated the box office across decades, hopping from crime dramas and black comedies to blockbuster franchises, while earning Oscar nominations for 2009's sport drama Invictus and 2015 sci-fi adventure, The Martian. Today, his quest is simple. I think you get on the other side of 50 and at least for me, I really started feeling like time is the most precious commodity there is, he says. I just want to be intentional with what I do with it. Your transformation in the Odyssey is remarkable. Is there a cost to changing your body radically at this age? I think if I had done the opposite and put weight on, that would have been dangerous, and it's not something I'll do anymore. I was happy to do it earlier in my life and my career, but this was more about getting really, really physically fit, which involves a whole lifestyle change. You have to be very intentional about everything you're putting in your body. I stopped eating gluten, among other things. What does your family think when you commit like this? When they came to visit in Favnana, Italy, I promised them I was going to have pasta with them. The night came, we went out to a little restaurant, and we all ordered pasta. And right after I ordered it, I called the waiter back. I was like, I'll just please have a steak instead. And the kids were like, but you promised. So I took a bite of each of theirs, but at that point, I was just in it. It was going to be 4 or 5 more months of shooting, and I was like, it's all or nothing at this point. Shooting inside the Trojan horse sounds so claustrophobic. Do you have any phobias left? I worked through a lot of them on this one, definitely. Claustrophobia was one, but I hope I'm on the other side of that one now. We were filming The Fall of Troy. I think it was a Friday, and we were shooting the horse on Tuesday. And I said, Chris, how are you going to do the horse? And he goes, yeah, I don't know. That's the thing I love about him. It's basically like an independent film. The way we were going to shoot the horse was we were all going to get in the horse and figure it out. Now that your kids are older, do they give you pointed notes on your work? I have one daughter who's really not reverential at all about my movies and loves to give me crap. She saw The Odyssey, and at the end, she actually turned to me and she said, Dad, I'm proud of you. He laughs. She's never said anything like that because we joke around a lot. At that point, I was kind of like, I'm good. It was all worth it. You have 2 daughters at home for a few more years. How are you embracing or facing that? I feel like we are facing it and embracing the fact that it's happening. We've been talking a lot about presence and about really trying to be in the moment because you can't slow down time. Also, we have all these family challenges to be off our phones and things like that. You've been married to Luciana for more than 20 years. What's kept your relationship strong? There's a lot of love and respect underneath the relationship and a lot of trust. And so it's built on a very sturdy foundation. We continue to grow and evolve as people. And so that foundation's really everything. It's the greatest thing in my life. After being part of each other's lives for so long, you and Ben Affleck now are both facing the empty nest years with college tours and adult kids. Do you talk about it? Oh, we talk about it all the time. It doesn't take much to get us emotional at this point. We're at very similar stages with the kids. It's definitely a new phase of life. It was one of the reasons we started the production company, getting into our 50s and going, this is the time to do this. We're young enough to have the energy to do it and old enough to appreciate why we should do it, to make really good movies with our friends and with people we want to work with. Now you're also working with Luciana, who is producing alongside you at Artists Equity. What is it like to mix your professional life with your home life? Well, that's not really a change at all, because she's been a part of that for me since I've known her. She reads everything I'm doing. She looks at cuts of movies. I've relied on her notes for 23 years. While I was doing The Odyssey, she was producing the movie that Ben was directing, Animals. And so they have their own work-life and creative professional relationship. He came out of that experience and said he wouldn't direct a movie if she wasn't producing it. At home, do the Damons have any family traditions? We have family dinner every night, and that's non-negotiable. It's always been that way. But in fact, we had a conversation about it. Because we have the company in Los Angeles, sometimes there are calls and there's work going on during dinner in New York. Lucy and I are, oh, I just got to return this text, or, oh, this person needs an answer to this. And one of my daughters said, well, at family dinner last night, we didn't talk. We realized, oh my gosh, you're right. You can get lost in that routine and not appreciate why you established it in the first place. So that's the kind of family mindfulness we're all working on. What have you taken away from living in a house of women? I was raised with just a brother, and so it was a very different energy, a real different way to grow up. I feel like it was such a blessing in my 30s to suddenly have this whole new world open up to me. It's been just a gift how sophisticated women are and how fast, he laughs. I used to joke that by the time my daughter was 2, she had me totally wrapped around her finger. How do you feel about your career now versus when you started out? I remember at 25, I got the part in The Rainmaker. Francis Ford Coppola gave me that job, and I'll never forget that. It's just been an amazing journey. Some of the movies didn't work, but ideally, in another 10 years, I'd like to just keep doing things that I can feel really proud of. Odysseus rails against the gods, believing he can determine his own fate. What's your take on that at this stage in your life? I just try to think about what I can control and what I can't. And instead of railing against the gods about things that I can't control, being fastidious and intentional about what I can and accepting what I can't. You live long enough and things happen, and tragedy comes and visits you no matter who you are, and you just have to accept what happens. I think starting out as an actor, you have to feel that way a little bit because the odds are so long against you. You need to have that kind of defy the gods mentality to go into this life because it's a bit of the circus life and it's not a normal way to go. But at this stage of my life, I feel a lot more at peace, and I'm happy for other people's success. I don't feel myself in competition with other people, whereas when we're young and other people get jobs, you're like, I could have done that. Now I'm just really happy for people who are doing a good job. What does a perfect day off look like? It can be as simple as yesterday. I was at home with my kids, and I took one of them to the orthodontist, and it was just a great day off. It's nice to just sometimes run some errands with the people you love. Family night out. Damon had a teary-eyed moment as his daughters joined him at the Odyssey's July 6th London premiere. They had to sacrifice a lot too for this, because I went away for a while, says the star. The couple posed with Alexia, Gia, Stella, and Isabella. They came and visited, but it was a lot. Boston Brothers. Still close friends, Damon and Ben Affleck launched the production company Artists Equity in 2022. Ben and I bolstered each other when we were young, says Damon. We were the only people who believed in each other, who said, yeah, you're going to make it. And our dreams came true. And the greatest disservice we could do to our younger selves would be not to work together. Matt's epic career. Good Will Hunting. He played a janitor hiding his genius in the 1997 drama with Robin Williams as his therapist. Saving Private Ryan. Steven Spielberg's 1998 World War II classic focuses on the search for a family's last living son. The Talented Mr. Ripley. As a con artist in the 1999 thriller with Gwyneth Paltrow, he subverted his everyman appeal. Ocean's 11. Damon joined an all-star cast in the 2001 heist movie, including George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Elliot Gould, and Don Cheadle. The Departed. Martin Scorsese's 2006 crime drama pitted an undercover cop, Leonardo DiCaprio, against a mob spy, Damon. The Bourne Ultimatum. After kicking off his franchise with 2002's The Bourne Identity, Damon returned in three more films. The Martian. Damon's stranded astronaut must survive Mars solo in the 2015 sci-fi thriller. Oppenheimer. Nolan's 2023 atomic drama, starring Cillian Murphy, earned 7 Oscars, including Best Picture. The Odyssey's Royal Family. Matt Damon, Anne Hathaway, Tom Holland, and Christopher Nolan. The co-stars and director catch up a year after wrapping their epic film. You three play the family unit in The Odyssey, with Matt's Odysseus striving for most of the film to make it back to his wife and now grown son. A lot has changed since you wrapped last summer. And congratulations on your pregnancy news. Matt Damon, I was like the only person who didn't know. Anne Hathaway, I walked in yesterday and Matt was like, huh? Damon, she walked in and it absolutely blew my mind. Let's get back to the basics. What's your earliest memory of reading The Odyssey? Hathaway, when Chris told me that we were doing The Odyssey, I actually had to stand up and walk around and said, I'm going to need a second. I first encountered Greek mythology in 8th grade, and it was true love. I watched shows about Greek mythology just for fun, even before this. Tom Holland to Nolan, I remember my brain scrambling when you told me the movie you were going to make, and I hadn't read it. I was searching every corner of my brain for any bit of information to try and make myself look intelligent. Matt, when you got the call from Christopher for this, was it out of the blue, like his call for Oppenheimer was? Damon, I didn't see it coming at all. In fact, Nolan's producing partner and wife, Emma Thomas, had texted me, are you around for a call today? Because Chris famously doesn't have a phone, so she always gives you a heads up if he's going to call. I just thought we were catching up. Tom, you had to make a few calls to push Spider-Man Brand New Day's start date to be able to shoot the Odyssey first. Holland, to be honest, when I got home after our meeting, I sat down with my partner, Zendaya, and was like, I've been offered this movie. And she was like, by who? I was like, it's the big one. And then we had Spider-Man that was literally scheduled to go the same day that we would start shooting. And Z said, I'll leave you if you don't do the Odyssey. Laughs. Nolan, well, thank you to her. Was there time to bond together as a family unit? Games of Uno on the side? Hathaway, I wish we did, but no. We sat around a conference table and discussed the script. Nolan, well, you guys are hardly strangers. Hathaway, yeah. To Damon, I first met you when you were shirtless in a freezing tank in a cold storage unit in LA for Interstellar. I mean, if that's not a bonding experience, I'm not sure what is. Word is most of the cast and crew hiked up daily to the Italian castle that stood in for Ithaca's palace. Nolan, so we had helicopters to bring equipment up or to bring members of the crew or cast who, for whatever reason, couldn't make the hike. But the bulk of the people, because we needed 250 people up there, had to hike. I remember the first day feeling like I was making a pretty good pace. And then Tom Holland, with his headphones on, was zipping past me like a gazelle. See you up there. Holland, it was such a nice way to get the blood pumping before the day. The day we did the fight on the edge of the cliff, though, we hiked up, we shot this fight scene all day, and then the walk down in the evening, my legs were jelly. Chris, you walked up every day, and you could have totally justified flying up because you're a busy man. Nolan, I tried, but Emma would not let me. They all laugh. She's like, if you're going to ask people to walk, you better be walking. With reporting by Gina Kelsey. You've been listening to a People Magazine exclusive. Matt Damon is not slowing down. Three simple ways to curb your sugar cravings. The secret? Prioritize what you love and nix what is truly unnecessary. By Christina Mannion, published April 9th, 2026. This is from Oprah Daily. Welcome to our new column, Start Somewhere, which breaks down complex topics like gut health, emotional well-being, and personal finance into three simple but impactful actions you can take today. We all have to start somewhere, right? So take that first step with us. Sorry to be a buzzkill, but you're probably eating way too much sugar. This isn't a personal attack. It's a we problem. Per the American Heart Association, American adults consume an average of 17 teaspoons of added sugar per day, nearly three times the daily recommended maximum of 6 teaspoons, or 25 grams for women. The key word is added. You don't need to worry about the naturally occurring sugars in foods like fruit. We mean the table sugar, high fructose corn syrup, brown rice syrup, and in some cases, maple syrup or honey used to make stuff taste sweeter. Going overboard on these ingredients can result in some pretty serious health outcomes. Over time, too much added sugar can lead to increased insulin resistance and chronic inflammation, both of which raise the risk of type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and other chronic illnesses, says Jamie Adams, MS, RDN, a registered dietitian specializing in women's health. These risks become more significant after menopause when a woman's cardiovascular risk naturally rises. The menopause transition can also make it harder for your body to keep blood sugar balanced, making even the littlest treats more likely to cause energy dips, brain fog, and mood swings. But cutting back can be daunting if you have a sweet tooth. 25 grams of added sugar is pretty standard in a single margarita, a mini can of soda, a small dessert, or a few fun-sized candy bars, leaving little room for the sugar from sneakier sources like salad dressings, sauces, bread, and flavored yogurt. It's a bitter pill to swallow. Thankfully, you can have your cake and eat it too. The key is prioritizing the treats that bring you real pleasure. When women cut back on the hidden sugar in everyday foods, it often creates room to enjoy dessert or a favorite flavored coffee creamer on purpose, says Allie McGowan, MSRD, a registered dietitian and founder of Sprout Out Loud. Here are three simple ways to get started. 1. Audit your staples. Start by nixing the sources of added sugar already hiding in your kitchen. Condiments, salad dressings, pasta sauces, and flavored creamers often contain several grams of added sugar per serving that add up quickly. But they're rarely the foods people truly enjoy, Adams says. Switching to lower or no sugar versions is one of the easiest ways to lower intake without feeling deprived. Same goes for flavored yogurts, granola, and protein bars, which can have up to 10 to 15 grams of added sugar per serving, adds McGowan. 2, rethink your drinks. Even if you're not a soda person, there's probably some hidden sugar in your drink rotation too. Sweetened coffee and tea, smoothies, and soda can quietly deliver a full day's worth of added sugar without providing much fullness, says Adams. Consider this your sign to embrace seltzer, water, and herbal teas already. You don't have to go cold turkey, which we understand sounds miserable. Instead, make tweaks slowly to allow your taste to adjust. If you add 2 sugar packets to your coffee, start by decreasing to 1.5 and continue from there, says Rebecca Jaspin, MPHRD, a registered dietitian and owner of Rebecca Jaspin Nutrition. 3, upgrade your snacks. The other part of reducing your sugar intake is working with your biology to ward off cravings. McGowan recommends incorporating a source of protein and fat into your meals and snacks, like pairing an apple with a handful of walnuts or an ounce of cheddar. This supports blood sugar control and reduces the urge to have something sweet an hour later, she says. You'll be less tempted to tear into that box of cookies at 9 p.m., blowing your sugar budget for the day in one episode of Summer House. This has been 3 Simple Ways to Curb Your Sugar Cravings from Oprah Daily. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer broadcaster, Kelly Pyle, and this is the Women's Hour. Want to live longer? Do more squats. Seriously. Lower body strength is linked to some surprising benefits. Here's How to Get a Leg Up by Michelle Ross, published July 8th, 2026. This is from Oprah Daily. How many deadlifts can you do? The answer might reveal how long you'll live. Okay, that's a bit of an oversimplification, but a growing body of research suggests that building muscle and strength in your legs could be a crucial way to increase your health span, also known as the number of years you're physically and mentally fit. And women in midlife in particular should take notice. Unless you're hitting the weight room regularly, muscle loss accelerates during the menopause transition and impacts everything from fall risk to metabolic health. The good news, you can build strength at any age, and once you start, the cascade of mind-body benefits tend to accumulate quickly. Ahead, experts unpack the surprising power of leg strength and share tips on how to start working your lower body today. The leg longevity connection. While balanced, full body strength is the ultimate goal, lower body resistance training gives you a real leg up on aging. Working large muscle groups like the quadriceps, gluteals, and hamstrings sends powerful signals throughout the entire body that improve metabolic health, heart health, brain function, and longevity, says Gabrielle Lyon Dio, a board-certified family physician and the author of the Forever Strong Playbook. Since the lower body makes up the largest share of your total skeletal muscle, she says that targeting this region can positively influence your health in pretty profound ways. For starters, strong leg muscles are crucial for balance and stability. They are behind your ability to walk, rise from a chair, and regain balance if you stumble. We take them for granted now, but when these functions decline, the risk of falls, fractures, frailty, and loss of independence rises sharply, warns Dr. Lyons. And falls are far more serious than what you see in those goofy Life Alert commercials. CDC data shows that they're the leading cause of injury-related deaths in adults 65 and over. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Better leg strength typically reflects better muscle quality, better motor control, higher daily activity levels, and better metabolic health, including blood sugar control and lower inflammation, Dr. Lyon says. Improved metabolic health is especially important for reducing the likelihood of a lifespan-slashing chronic disease, like heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and hypertension. The mental boost. Surprisingly, greater leg strength is also associated with improved cognition and brain health. Dr. Lyon says strength training in general boosts the release of brain-derived neurotrophic factor, BDNF. A protein that supports everything from learning and memory to staving off neurodegenerative disease. But there may be something special about legs in particular. A 2015 study, which followed 324 healthy adult female twins for a decade, found that the twin with the greater leg power performed better on cognitive tests and had higher volumes of gray matter, the tissue in your brain that enables you to think, reason, move, learn, and function. Resistance training is a pretty powerful mood booster too, yet another essential piece of living well. In one 2022 study of 685 women with depression, ages 59 and older, lower body strength was linked with health-related quality of life and some improved depression symptoms. In another 2022 pilot study of 41 women, ages 60 to 76, doing a full body resistance training regimen 3 times a week for 12 weeks led not only to significant improvements in muscle strength, but also reduced symptoms of depression and anxiety. How to step it up? Ready to boost your legs and your lifespan? Michelle McDonald, CSCS, a strength and conditioning specialist and founder of the workout platform, The Wonder Women, recommends aiming for 2 lower body sessions per week, each 30 to 45 minutes long. On off days, opt for other kinds of movement. For example, Dr. Lyon says that additional types of leg-dominant activity, such as hiking, stair climbing, and Pilates, can complement but not replace your leg workouts by improving muscular endurance, stability, and coordination. And don't forget to increase your protein intake, which is just as essential as lifting to build and preserve muscle mass. Dr. Lyon advises aiming for 0.7 to 1 gram of protein per pound of target body weight per day, which would amount to 105 to 150 grams for a 150-pound woman. If you need a lower body gym routine, try the following from McDonald, which uses 5 key moves to work out all of your leg muscles. For each move, do 2 or 3 sets of 8 to 12 repetitions each. Total beginners should stick to body weight alone until they nail form. Once the move feels easy, add light dumbbells or a kettlebell to the mix and keep increasing the weight over time. The load should feel challenging but manageable until the last 1 to 2 reps, where the effort should noticeably increase, says McDonald. 1. Squats. For alignment, core, and lower body strength. How to do it. Stand with your feet hip or shoulder width apart. Drive your knees out over your feet and lower your hips, keeping your torso neutral and engaging your core and pelvic floor. Go as deep as you can without pain, maintaining your form and not hunching over. Hold, then slowly come back up to standing positions. Level up. Make it harder by holding a dumbbell or kettlebell to your chest, or see if you can squat down lower without support. 2. Hip hinges. For safe lifting, balance, and back pain prevention. How to do it. Stand with your legs hip-width apart, knees slightly bent, and spine neutral. Push your hips back as if you're closing a car door with your butt, keeping your spine straight. You should feel a stretch in the hamstrings as the hips travel backward and your upper body moves forward. Drive the hips forward to stand tall again. Level up. For more resistance, stand on an exercise band and hold on to the ends with both hands while you hinge, increasing the band's tension to make it harder. When that feels good, try holding a dumbbell or kettlebell in front of you, lowering it down toward the floor in front of you with control as you hinge forward before you return to standing. Lunges. For hip stability and single leg strength. How to do it. Start in a standing position and step your right leg out in front. Lower yourself down slowly as far as you can go or until your back knee brushes the floor. Your right foot should stay flat on the floor and your right knee should be in line over your toes. If you feel wobbly, hold on to the edge of a counter or a chair. Keep your torso tall and engage your glutes to keep your hips stable. Slowly lift back up to standing, then repeat, this time with your left leg in front. Level up. Increase how far you go down first, then add weights to one or both hands. Glute bridges for mobility and hip strength. How to do it? Lie on your back, knees bent, feet hip-width apart. Gently engage your core, then squeeze your glutes to push your hips up until your body forms a straight line from shoulders to knees. Hold at the top for 10 seconds before releasing slowly back to the floor. Level up. Place a dumbbell or plate across your hips, or place an exercise band around your hips and anchor the ends under your hands for extra resistance. 5. Calf raises for ankle strength and balance. How to do it? Stand with your feet under your hips. Press into the balls of your feet and lift the heels up as high as possible. Hold at the top without wobbling for a few seconds, then lower down with control. Pause and repeat. If needed, lightly touch a wall or chair for balance support. Level up. Hold each rep for longer or add ankle weights for more of a challenge. Your legs have taken you places your whole life. Why not show some appreciation? Shifting your focus to make them stronger will ensure that you remain active, mobile, and independent, not to mention cognitively and mentally strong for years to come. Women start noticing changes pretty quickly with simple strength training routines, says McDonald. Getting up the stairs gets easier, getting up from the floor is less of a chore, and you get less tired. All the more reason to step to it. You have been listening to Want to Live Longer? Do More Squats, Seriously, from Oprah Daily. These simple questions are relationship super glue. Pop one to your partner when you want to feel instantly connected. By Eleni N. Gage, published May 22, 2026. From Oprah Daily. In the heady early days of courtship, we ask our partners about their hopes, dreams, pasts, visions for the future, and the things they like to do, hear, watch, and read, among a million other things. Years, or even decades in, the questions tend to be far more logistical. Did you pay the insurance? Did you email the accountant? Can you be on the Zoom? Are we out of eggs? That's need-to-know info, but it definitely doesn't keep the spark alive. For that effect, sprinkle in these gems from relationship experts. Is there anything you need from me today? Scientists John and Julie Schwartz Gottman have studied more than 3,000 couples in their love lab, some for over 20 years. In their book, The Love Prescription, they share the three universal things they've found that successful couples have in common. First, the pair stay curious about each other over time. Second, they share their admiration for each other. And third, they metaphorically and often literally turn toward each other instead of turning away when one partner asks for attention with a comment, a question, or just calling their spouse's name. To score a three-pointer, curiosity, admiration, a turning toward, The Gottmans suggest asking the above question every day during a brief morning check-in. Is there anything you need from me today? It's just one sentence, they write, but it does a lot. It's an invitation, a trust builder, and it says, I love you and I want to be there for you. If you honestly can't take on one more task, dial it back to a simple, how are you feeling today? Suggests Jillian Turecki, host of the podcast, Jillian on Love. So simple, but huge impact, she says, just by showing you care about their feelings. Are you available? The Gottmans borrowed this question from a couple who overheard a teacher at their kids' Montessori school remind her students to ask each other this before interrupting their work or play. Try it the next time you want your partner's attention. If they say yes, you're golden. If they say, let me come find you once I send this email, you saved them the frustration of multitasking and you the resentment of not having their total attention. Have we had any misses lately? A miss is when we're not on the same page about something and we feel misunderstood, explains Sharon Salzberg, a Buddhist teacher and author of the upcoming Real Life. This question is an invitation to bring up small issues before they become big ones. When your partner responds, she says, give them the gift of your full attention to receive the answer without judgment. Salzberg learned the technique from a friend who told her that once a miss has been addressed, they love to say, are we clean? In other words, Salzberg says, has everything that's sticky been brought to the surface, acknowledged, and if need be, processed and actioned? What's going well? What's made you feel seen and heard lately? Don't just focus on your miscommunications as a couple. Celebrate wins too, times when you were in sync and feeling great. Pointing out moments that are working puts deposits in a shared piggy bank and gives partners resources for when things are a bit more strained, says Salzberg. Genesis Games, a Miami psychotherapist, recommends that her patients go over hits and misses daily in one fell swoop. When working with couples, I suggest they have regular check-ins and ask themselves when they feel the most connected and disconnected, she says. Relationships are a constant dance of connection and disconnection. For example, couples might feel disconnected when a partner declines sex and connected when their partner provides reassurance, maybe by expanding on why they aren't in the mood. Check-ins not only serve to solve a specific issue, says Games, they also give us a sort of GPS for our relationship. If I want my partner to feel more connected to me, I now know what to do. If I know what helps me feel connected, I can ask for it. It's empowering from all angles. What's going on in that beautiful brain? You don't have to say those exact words, but the idea is to elicit what's on your partner's mind, not just their to-do list. It's important to not just drown in the daily mundanity of sharing a household, points out Salzberg. One of the things we really want in our relationships is to be seen accurately by our romantic partners, says social psychologist Richard Slatcher, director of the Close Relationships Lab at the University of Georgia. The specific question you ask really depends on who the other person is and what they have going on in their life, what their stressors might be, what their hopes and dreams might be. The bottom line is that you want to hear about your partner's inner world. The Gottmans point out that among the couples they've studied, thinking and talking about each other's dreams, hopes, and values created major breakthroughs 87% of the time, even with very distressed couples. So when you and your partner find yourself arguing about something repeatedly, the Gottmans suggest asking each other, what's your dream around this issue and what's your nightmare? If you understand why your spouse insists on family dinner on the table every night, because they never had that as a child and always hoped to, then you're less likely to resent the demand and more likely to figure out a way to feed the emotional need, if not the literal request. Maybe it's a big family meal every Friday or Sunday, leaving you time to take the evening class you value during the week. You know what I love about you? As often as possible, share why you think your other half is fabulous. No need for a grand gesture. A quick, "You make the best freaking coffee," counts. Also great. Recall what made you fall for each other in the first place. Data from the 3,000 couples we followed in the Love Lab showed that couples who stay happily together are easily able to name specific qualities they love and appreciate about their partner, the Gottmans write. They have vivid memories of their past together. When they describe that shared history, their narrative is an overwhelmingly positive one. They emphasize the good times and the upsides. Go ahead and describe that first meeting like it was an act of fate or the plot of an exciting movie. I almost didn't go to that party. He was my very first match on Match.com. I went on 372 dates before she finally showed up. Then gush some more, actively admiring the other person, appreciating them not just for what they do, but for who they are, is like air in a life raft, write the Gottmans. You float above the waves even when they get rough. Will you go out with me? When couples come to the Gottman Institute for Marriage Counseling, the therapists often prescribe what they call a regular, non-negotiable, come hell or high water date night. Why? Because it works, they say. A one-on-one time to talk, free of screens, kids, or housework, is one of the things that causes the biggest improvement in an ailing relationship. A date doesn't mean you have to have reservations at the hottest spot in town. It can be a walk around the block, a drink on the porch, chips and dip at the coffee table, as long as the TV is off. If you don't have time for date night, make the time, the Gottmans write. Cancel something. How about a hug? A nice long one, that is. The hormone, oxytocin, promotes feelings of love, trust, and bonding. And neuroscientist Paul Zak showed in a study that a hug triggers it just as effectively as sniffing oxytocin directly via nasal spray. In his famous TED Talk, he prescribes 8 hugs a day because people who release more oxytocin are happier and have better relationships of all kinds. The Gottmans recommend hugging for 20 seconds because that's exactly how long it takes for oxytocin to metabolize in your bloodstream. And remind readers that a 20-second hug also causes blood vessels to dilate and the brain to receive more oxygen, physical effects that can lower stress and blood pressure, and boost feelings of affection. but there's no need to get hung up on seconds or frequency of hugs. Any amount of embracing is good. The upshot, science says to hug it out. This has been These Simple Questions Are Relationship Super Glue from Oprah Daily. Thank you for joining us today for the Women's Hour. My name is Kelly Pyle, and I am your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster. I hope you enjoyed our stories today and that you'll also make plans to join us again next week for another interesting and entertaining collection of articles from women's magazines. And don't forget, you can take Sun Sounds with you. You can stream as well as access shows on demand on our new Sun Sounds of Arizona apps for both Apple and Android phones. I hope you have a great day, and be sure to stay tuned to Sun Sounds of Arizona.